21. Do you believe this? If the tongue has the power of life and death, then each one of us, well, it's the equivalent of carrying a loaded gun. How careful would we be with a loaded gun? How careful are we with our tongues? Well, most of us love to talk. Everybody has something to say. We live in the generation of the vox pop, of Wikipedia. There are talk shows and surveys, focus groups. Everybody has their say. I think it's one of the UK radio stations, talk radio, that talks about join the nation's conversation. And since the days of the mobile phone, you even get to share half of people's conversations as they walk down the street. I never really got that, having a phone conversation loudly walking down the street. Come on. Well, the New Testament expands the simple sounding commandment in Exodus 20, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And that prohibition, well, it forms the basis of the rest of what Jesus and James has to say about speech in the New Testament. And a transformed tongue is seen as an inescapable consequence of gospel transformation. We're serious about being disciples of Jesus, about being transformed by the good news. It's going to change how we speak. It's an acid test. James forces us to take stock of what we say. I mean, it's a bit ironic. James doesn't mince his words about our words. But there you go. Because in every chapter of his letter, he has something to say about what we say. Chapter 1, James has already warned us about rash words. James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Chapter 2, we've been warned about empty words in James 2:16. One of you says to a needy person, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their needs. What good is it? Chapter 3, we have his fullest discourse about our speech, and we'll look at that in a few moments. Chapter 4, we're going to be warned about vicious words. James 4:11, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. Chapter 5, we're warned about unnecessary words. James 5:12. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you'll be condemned. Well, James doesn't just have a bee in his bonnet, as we might say in that English expression. He's been faithful to so much of the rest of the Bible's teaching and what Jesus says. So James gives us good reasons why we have to be so careful about what we say. He knows we tend to make light of our mistakes, excuse him, oh, just a slip of the tongue. Or that's me always putting my foot in it, or that's just how I am, I'm outspoken. Well, James gives us a warning series of illustrations, and each one seems to get worse as it goes along. He doesn't let us off the hook to excuse our failings. James doesn't accept that what we say is just a slip of a tongue or some other innocent mistake. Well, the first pictures he gives come in verses 3 and 4, chapter 3. The picture of the bit in the horse's mouth or the rudder on the ship steering things. There's a sense that our tongue is like it directs us. Like the bit in the horse's mouth or the rudder on the ship. If you want to know where you're headed in life, think about what you say. The outlook here is, well, if we control what we say, we'll be able to control the rest of life and check its course. Yes. If we want a Christ-like life, we start with our tongue. I mean, in some ways, it should be the easiest of things, because what we say is surely, it's within our control. There are many things in life that are complicated. How we relate to others, how we care for the poor, how we pray for the sick. All these things we're going to talk about in James, or hear what he says. But surely, how we speak, shouldn't that be within our control? What comes out of my mouth That's got to be my responsibility. And the promise here is as we control that, the rest will follow. Some of it's about like a self-fulfilling prophecy. We say to ourselves, oh, I'll never get the hang of this. So we don't. You always make me so angry. So they do. The boss says to the secretary, my wife doesn't understand me. Well, we know where that leads. Ever since the Garden of Eden, the seeds of so much sin is found in our inappropriate conversation. What if you've ever taken stock, even just for a day, or maybe a week, of what you actually say? People, statistics tell us that the average person has something like 30 conversations a day, and we spend about a fifth of our life talking. A year's conversations would fill something like 60 books of 1,000 pages. We're talking kind of Lord of the Rings thickness there. That's a lot. And we need to acknowledge its power. So don't give space in your life for the kind of destructive or negative or despairing comments that leads away from Christ's way and shapes our living. Don't risk it. It's that important. Now, some people say, oh, if it's that hard, then I won't speak at all. You know, I'll just be silent. One strategy, but it doesn't really work. I'm sure you've all heard the old joke about the guy who joined a Trappist monastery. And Trappists have a vow of silence, very severe. So for 3 years, he was given a probation period where he was not allowed to speak at all, but at the end of each year, he is allowed to say two words. The end of the first year, he says to the person in charge, bed hard. The end of the second year, he says to the person in charge, food terrible. At the end of the third year, he comes to them and says, I quit. And the person in charge says, well, that doesn't surprise me. All you've done since you've got here is complain. Now, absolute silence is not an option for most of us. And James says, our words are not just the slip of a tongue or putting our foot in it or being outspoken. We're choosing the direction of our life, Christ-like or not. Second picture here in verses 5 to 8 is about our tongue destroys. Verse 5 to 8, the picture of the forest fire. You probably saw the media coverage of the recent forest fires in the Amazon. Those terrible pictures of devastated, scorched earth in place of the vibrant rainforest. All that natural beauty reduced to charred wreckage. And James says, that's what happens with careless talk. James says that one careless remark can mean that all hell breaks loose, literally according to verse 6. Picture of the tongue as a wild, untamed animal. You know, I was watching a documentary about the national parks in the USA, and the terrible scene where people see the bears and think they're tame animals when they come looking for food. Well, they're not. They're wild animals. And there was a horrible scene where a family wanted to get a selfie with a bear. So they decided to spread honey on their child's hand and bring it close. I'm not going to draw a picture about what happened next. How can you be so stupid, you think? Well, the same thing about our tongue. How can we be so stupid to think this is not a wild animal? Be aware of the danger that accompanies our words. And many people, we've had that experience of sitting down after we've said something or a conversation. How did that happen? How did that happen? I didn't mean it. But now there's a friendship, a family, a marriage, a church that is harmed by what I've been said. Because, you know, once it's out there, it can be like a spark that starts a flame that you can't control. Once you've said it, it won't be unsaid. And we can have no idea that our words can have a venomous quality, the deadly poison that James talks about in verse 8. It's serious stuff. It's not a slip of the tongue. It's not putting our foot in it. It's not being outspoken. Be aware that what we say can destroy what we have. That third set of pictures in verses 9 to 12, it shows the real issue we all face. Because what I say reveals my character. It tells me what's inside of me. James points out how inconsistent we are. Verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with the same tongue we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. From the same mouth come praise and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. How can praise the Lord turn into shut up, you so-and-so? How is it possible we could be loving to the people around us, our children, our wives, our friends, our colleagues, and the next minute be harsh and critical to them? What if you struggle with an inconsistent tongue? Because James seems to say we all do. We speak lovingly in one breath and we lash out with another. What's the problem? Well, James gives the answer in verses 11 and 12. He says, consider the source. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The point is, whatever's in the well is going to come out. Whatever is in the tree is going to come out in the fruit. My problem is not really my tongue. The problem is my heart. Because what's inside is what's going to come out. My mouth will betray what's really on the inside. I can fool you, I can pretend, I can fake it. But at some point, my tongue is going to catch me out. It's going to let you know what I'm really like. Maybe you've heard people say, or you've said it, you know, someone says something really mean, and they say, oh, I don't know what got into me. Oh, I don't get into me. Oh, it's not like me to say that. It's out of character. I didn't mean it. James would say, yes, it is. It's in character. It's just like you. Don't delude yourself. What's inside is going to come out. It's a natural law. What's in the well is what comes out of the well. So no surprise, that's exactly what Jesus says in Matthew 12. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Extraordinary when Jesus talks about being judged by our careless words. That doesn't shake me up, nothing will. I wouldn't perhaps mind so much about being judged by my best words, my most carefully chosen words, but my careless words, the things that just, ooh, sneak out. Yeah, Jesus says, it's that serious. It reveals your character. If you've got a problem with your tongue, it's a heart problem. A person with that harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with that negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person who is critical all the time has a bitter heart. It's a matter of the heart. A joyful person who's always encouraging, well, they have a joyful heart. A person who speaks gently and caringly, well, has a loving heart. A person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. So what can we do? At this point, you may feel like, oh, this has cheered me up on an October morning. And I'm aware of all the mistakes I've made and all the ways that I've spoken wrongly. What shall I do? How can I change? Just to say, I feel for you. And just remember, it's even worse for me. Because the chapter started off by warning me as a person in the teaching ministry of a stricter judgment and seemingly guaranteed failure. So if you think you got it bad, just think where I'm at. What can we do? Well, four practical steps. First, have the humility to accept God's grace. James is uncompromising with the way he makes us stare at the prospect of failure and judgment. Just those things that we prefer to avoid or deny. And James says, The only answer to this is God's grace, because God's in the business of giving new hearts. We need to pray like David did in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because what's inside is what's going to come out of my mouth. Secondly, a daily dependence on God's help. Verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. Well, only God can. How often do you consciously ask God for his spirit to control what you say? Every morning it's good to pray Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard over my lips, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my mouth. It's a great verse to pray every morning. Guard my lips. Today let me be not hurtful or critical. Guard my lips. Because let me never say things. It's normally the off-the-cuff remarks that cause the most damage in life. Just help me, Lord. As one person put it, the proof that God's Spirit is in your life is not so much that you speak in an unknown tongue, but that you control the tongue that you do know. So watch our words. God gives us the power to heal rather than hurt, not to lie or exaggerate, but to speak in love. A third practical step, engage your mind before you put your mouth in gear. Goes back to James 1:9. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That simple exhortation, quick to listen, slow to speak, can transform us. Remember what Jesus said about careless speech? Careless. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted and your words you'll be condemned. Matthew 12:36. Someone has said that a closed mouth gathers no feet. Someone else has said that if your mind should go blank, don't forget to turn off the sound. We do that when we close our mouth. Fourth practical step, think community. Remember that you are part of the body of Christ. Before you speak, ask yourself, what effect will what I'm about to say have on those around me? Will it build up or break down? So often we criticize others or cut them down in a pathetic attempt to build ourselves up. Imagine a Christian community where people are free to serve and try things and to fail without the fear of criticism or condemnation. It's always worth thinking about whenever you talk about anyone else, someone who's not there, ask yourself, would Jesus call this gossip? The biblical principle is with an issue with someone, you talk to them, not other people about them. That's simply how it is. I gather that in an Open Doors publication recently, the church in China, pastors saying the number one threat to the church, number one threat, gossip. Not persecution, not even biblical illiteracy, but how we talk. Death and life lies in the power of the tongue. It shouldn't surprise us. The good news is, of course, how do we grow up in the maturity of Christ? Well, we speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4. We speak the truth in love. A conscious transformation of the gospel. It sounds like James could have written Ephesians 4:25, not just Paul. Therefore, having put away falsehood and lies, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So in conclusion, what does your tongue say about you? What does it reveal about you? And what effect does it have on the community? Imagine you were to play back a tape of every conversation you've had this last week. What would it reveal about you? Well, let's hope that if we had the tape of next week's conversation, we'd hear the difference. What difference would there be this coming week about how we speak? Maybe a bit more silence, more room for others to speak. Perhaps more evidence of God's wisdom at work in us. Perhaps each of us having the humility to come to Christ and seek His forgiveness and the grace that transforms us from the inside out, from the heart to the tongue. Let me pray for us for a moment.